أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آية نمبر 180 وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ And let not those who greedily withhold what Allah has given them of His bounty ever think that it is better for them. بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ Rather, it is worse for them. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Their necks will be encircled by what they withheld on the day of resurrection. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ And to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah, with what you do, is fully acquainted. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ And he should never think like this. Never ever should such people think. Who? الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ Those who are stingy. Those who do bukhl. Those who are miserly. What are they stingy about? بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ About what Allah has given them out of His bounty. So they are stingy and they don't share it with others. They don't give it to others. So never should they think that هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ That it is better for them. What is better for them? The bukhl. Their stinginess is good for them. Rather, it is worse for them. The word يَبْخَلُونَ is from the root letters ba, kha, lam. And bukhl is to be stingy, to be miserly. And basically, it is to keep something whose giving away is mandatory on a person. So, there is something that a person has, and it is a must upon him to give it away. What is bukhl? That he does not give it away. For example, zakat. Giving the zakat is mandatory. So a person has the money of zakat and he must give it away to those people who deserve zakat. And if he doesn't give it, what is that? Bukhl. So it is to be stingy with regards to spending that which a person must spend, which he cannot keep with himself. Similarly, a person is responsible for spending on his family. A man is responsible for spending on his wife, on his children, on his parents. And what does he do? He doesn't spend on them. Rather, he spends elsewhere. For instance, he doesn't buy groceries or anything. He doesn't buy his children clothes. But rather, he gives a lot of donations. Is he very sakhi? Sakhi is used for someone who is very generous. Is he very generous? No, he's not being generous. But rather, he is being stingy. Why? Because he's not spending where he should spend and what he should spend. He is spending in a way that is, or a place that is not mandatory upon him, and instead where he must spend, he does not spend there. So those people who are stingy, meaning who don't spend, they are stingy with what? Bima atahum. What? With what Allah has given them. What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to a person? Everything that a person has. A person cannot say, this is mine, I made it myself, I earned it myself, I bought it myself. Okay, fine, you got it by some means, but who is the one who actually gave it to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are stingy with regards to that. What does it mean by this? That first of all, they are stingy when it comes to giving zakat. Particularly, this ayah speaks about those who are stingy when it comes to giving zakat. And secondly, in the general sense, that anything that a person has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is money, or it is some knowledge, or it is any skill that a person has been given, with which he can benefit others. And he is bakhil with regards to that, meaning he does not spend it on others, he doesn't use it to benefit other people. So for instance, the people of the book, they had knowledge of the sifat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did they do? Bukhl. They did not share those sifat. They did not tell other people about that. So يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ And because Allah has said over here, they are stingy with what Allah has given them, this makes their bukhl much worse. Because it's not theirs in the first place. And then they're being stingy. They're being stingy. مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Out of his fadl. So they should never think that هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ That it is better for them. Because many times when people hoard their wealth, when people are stingy with their wealth and they don't spend it on others, what do they think? that they have so much money and they can use it on themselves and they can enjoy it. For instance, if a person does not give zakat, how much is he holding back? 2.5%? And what does he think? That if I'm not going to give this, I'm going to be able to enjoy it myself. What does Allah say? They should never think that this is good for them. They should never think that what they have saved, what they have been stingy about, is good for them. Because many times when you keep something with yourself and you don't tell others about it, or you don't give it to others, then it establishes your supremacy over others. So Allah is saying over here that this is not good for you. بَلْ هُوَ شَرُّ لَهُمْ Rather, it is worse for them. It is evil for them. Why? Because it's going to be a source of great punishment and humiliation for the person on the Day of Judgment. And what is that punishment and humiliation? سَيُطَوَّقُونَ Soon they will be collared. What? مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ That with which they were stingy. Or that about which they were miserly. So the very thing that they withheld and they didn't give it in the way of Allah, they didn't give it whereas it was mandatory upon them to spend it, that same thing is going to become a tawq, a collar around their necks. When? يوم القيامة, on the Day of Judgment. The word سَيُطَوَّقُونَ, it begins with seen. And what does the seen mean? First of all, it gives the meaning of قُرْب, closeness, very soon, it's not far away. And second, it gives meaning of تحقيق, certainty, that this will definitely happen. And يطوقون is from the root letters طا وقاف. And the word طوق is used for a neck collar. It is used for a neck collar, a neck brace. A collar that is put around the neck. So يطوقون, what does it mean? تطويق is to put a neck collar around a person's neck. It is to tie something around a person's neck, to surround the neck of someone with something. That is what tatwiq is. So yutawwaquna, this is passive, that their necks will be surrounded by what? By that which they were stingy about. When? On the Day of Resurrection. How? We learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Al-Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, Whoever Allah makes wealthy, meaning the person has not gained wealth himself. It's possible that he tries hard and he doesn't make much money. So if a person has money, if a person has wealth, who is it from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهِ So whoever Allah makes wealthy and he does not pay the zakah due on his wealth, then on the Day of Resurrection, his wealth will be made in the likeness of a bald-headed poisonous snake. The wealth will be like what? A bald-headed, poisonous, and in particular, male snake, with two black spots over the eyes. The snake will encircle his neck and bite his cheeks and proclaim, I am your wealth. I am your wealth. So today, a person is only hiding what? Only keeping to himself what? A little bit, 2.5%. Just a little bit here, just a little bit there. You know that it's not your share. You know that you have to give it away. You don't have a right over it. And still if a person keeps it and he does not give it away, what is that wealth going to turn into on the Day of Judgment? A snake that is going to surround his neck. It's going to be wrapped around his neck. And it's going to bite on the person's face. Just imagine. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ And why do you not spend? Do you think that you're going to have it forever? You're not going to have it forever anyway. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth. The word mirath is from the root letters وَوْرَاثَ وَوْرَاثَ And what does it mean by that? To inherit. And mirath is basically the property that a dying person leaves behind. Or that a dead person, that a deceased, leaves behind. In whatever shape or form it is. It could be money, it could be a house, it could be gold, it could be his clothes, it could be different things. One day, it belongs to one person, and when he dies, then it transfers to others. And eventually what's going to happen? Things are going to be passed down from one generation to the next until there is nobody left. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And who is the inheritor? To who? Will this heritage go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the temporary owners, they will have passed away. So وَلِلَّهِ مِرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inherit everything within the heavens and the earth after the annihilation of their inhabitants, after the death, the destruction of the inhabitants of the Ahlul Samawat, the Ahlul Ard. When they have died, who will it be with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now does this mean that it is not His today? Of course it is. It is His today. But what this means is that you have your wealth only temporarily, only for some time. Eventually it will not be yours. وَلِلَّهِ مِرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And if you look at it, when a person does not spend in the way of Allah, who is he hiding his wealth from? Who is he protecting his wealth from? From Allah. What does Allah say? Eventually, it'll end up with Allah. وَلِلَّهِ مِرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And whatever that you're doing, any action, where you're spending, where you're not spending, how much you're spending, how much you're not spending, what are you stingy about and what are you not stingy about, everything that you do, Allah is khabir. And khabir is one who knows about the reality of something. One who is acquainted with the reality of something. So he is fully aware of everything that you do. And he is aware and he will recompense you accordingly. We learn in Surah Maryam, Ayah 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا. Indeed, it is we who will inherit the earth and whoever is on it. Because كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان, everyone is going to perish. Everyone is going to die. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the face of your Lord, ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, is going to remain. And everything is going to end up with Him. So while you have it, why don't you use it in a way that is going to benefit you? Why are you being stingy? Why don't you give it in His way? If you give it, He will multiply the reward for you. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ. Allah has certainly heard the statement of those people who said, indeed Allah is poor. وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ, while we are rich. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا, we will record what they said. وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ, and their killing of the prophets without right. وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, and we will say, taste the punishment of the burning fire. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ, certainly Allah has heard. Allah has heard what? The qawl, the statement of who? Alladhina, those people who, qalu, they said, inna Allaha faqir, indeed Allah is poor. Why did they say this? And who said this? We learned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, man dhaladhi yuqridu Allaha qardan hasanan, fayudha'ifahu lahu adha'afan kathira. That who is it that will lend to Allah a goodly loan, so that Allah will multiply it for him many times? When this ayah was revealed, the Jews, they came up to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, O Muhammad, has your Lord become poor that He asks His servants to give Him a loan? Has your Lord become poor that He asks His servants to give Him a loan? That He's asking for a qard? Because amongst people, who is it that asks for a qard? Someone who is poor, someone who is needy, someone who cannot afford what he needs himself. So they came up to the Prophet ﷺ mocking, making fun of the ayat, making fun of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes you see, making fun of the words of Allah, making fun of the commands of Allah, it goes as far as making fun of Allah. Because here, they're making fun of the ayat, but who are they making fun of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over here Allah says, لَقَد. What does لَقَد mean? There are three مُؤَكِّدَات in this. لَام, what does it mean? Surely. And remember that لَام, this is a response to a قَسَم. لَام is a response to a قَسَم. قَسَم is وَاللَّهِ. And what's the response? لَقَد. Surely, in fact. وَاللَّهِ, by Allah. I certainly said it. I surely did it. So لَام is a response to the قَسَم. So first of all, there is a قَسَم that is implied. Secondly, there is a لَام itself, which is surely. And قَد is, in fact. So there are three mu'akkidat in this. Why? To show the enormity of what is being mentioned. That what a terrible statement these people have uttered. What a terrible statement these people have said. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Allah has certainly heard the statement of those people who said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ. Who is it who said this? We know that it was the Jews, it was the Ahlul Kitab who had come up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said the statement. And we learn from the seerah that it was a person by the name of Finhas. Finhas. Fa nun ha alif sad. However, we see that the name of this person is not mentioned. The name has not been mentioned. And many places in the Quran, you read or you hear that this ayah was revealed because so-and-so person said this or so-and-so person did that. But the name of that person is not mentioned. Isn't it so? Only in two places the name of a person has been mentioned. Where? First of all, a believer is mentioned by name, Zayd radiallahu anhu, in Suratul Ahzab. And Abu Lahab is mentioned by name. So one believer is mentioned and one disbeliever is mentioned by name. And in every other place, in every other context, the name is not mentioned. I'm not talking about people of the past, like Fir'aun or the prophets. No, they are mentioned by name. That's understood. But at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the reason why these ayat were revealed, those people are not mentioned. Like for instance, الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. The names are not mentioned, these people. The names are not mentioned. Why? Two reasons. First of all, because it is possible that the person who is being spoken about, because of whom the ayat were revealed, he changes. Isn't it possible? He changes afterwards, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or afterwards. So for instance, الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ, when was this ayah revealed? Soon after Uhud. And we mentioned the incident of Bir Mu'una and so many other incidents that had happened. But we learn that so many of those tribes later on became Muslim as well. And if it wasn't those tribes, it was people from among those tribes. The people of Mecca who came fighting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan, Khalid ibn Walid, they became Muslim. So names are not mentioned. Why? Because it's possible that the person who is being spoken about, he changes later on. And if his name is mentioned like that in the Quran, it would be a great humiliation for him, a great source of embarrassment for him. And secondly, the names are not mentioned for the purpose of keeping the generality. That don't just apply these verses to that context, but rather, they're still applicable today. They're still applicable in other times, in other situations. Because what happens is that when we know that, oh, this ayah was revealed about so-and-so person, then we only limit our understanding to that person and that incident. We don't apply it to our lives. We don't take lessons for ourselves. So, when the names are not mentioned, the benefit that this gives is that the meaning is kept general. And so the benefit is also general. And it can be applied to different situations, and people can extract lessons from these ayat until the Day of Judgment. And also we see that people's habits generally, they are the same. People's habits, they're the same. The same jahala, the same ignorance that exists in people of underdeveloped countries, the same kind of ignorance also exists in developed countries. People from the most developed countries, even they are watching pornography and committing these crimes. If they are dealing with corruption and drugs, the same thing is happening over here as well. So the same ignorance prevails amongst all people. So therefore the names are not mentioned so that there can be generality and people can take lessons. Over here, the reason why I mentioned this to you is because especially in the Madani surah and also the Makki surahs, we will see that certain ayat are revealed, and if you open any book of tafsir, there is a particular incident that is given. And generally when we look at that incident, we only apply it to that particular time and we don't apply it to any other time. We don't try to take a lesson for ourselves. So the reason why I'm mentioning this is that we keep our minds open and we extract lessons from every incident that is mentioned. So Allah has certainly heard the statement of those people who said that indeed Allah is faqir. Faqir is someone who is extremely poor, one who is needy. So they're saying that Allah is faqir. Why? That if he was rich, then he wouldn't ask us to give a qard to him, to give sadaqah for him. وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا, and we are rich. أَغْنِيَا is the plural of غَنِي. Why are they saying that we are rich? Because Allah is asking us to give him. What does Allah say? سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا, soon we will write what they have said. سَنَكْتُبُ, again, seen, what does it mean? قُرْب as well as تَحْقِيق. Say these two words. قُرْب, تَحْقِيق. I want you to become familiar with these words. So the next time, don't say soon. Okay, what are you going to say? قُرْب. closeness, nearness. And secondly, tahqiq. Don't say certainty. What does it mean? Tahqiq. So sanaktubu ma qalu, meaning definitely, very soon, we are going to write what they have said. Meaning we will order its writing. Now, isn't it so that when a person says something, ma yalfidhu min qawlin, a person does not utter any statement, illa ladayhi raqibun atid, except that there is a watcher, an angel, kiram and katibin, who are ready to write whatever a person has uttered. So why has it been said, soon we will write? Hasn't it already been written? And why has it been delayed? This style is a style of threat. It's a threatening style. That just wait, just wait. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. We will order its writing. What? What they have said. And we will order the writing of what else? وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. And their killing of the prophets without any right. Now the question is that the people of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, those Jews, they did not kill the prophets. They tried to kill the Prophet ﷺ. However, they did not kill the prophets previously. So why is it said, وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ? They are killing, whereas they never killed. Because their forefathers killed, and they approved of that action. They were proud of that action. They approved of it, they were proud of it. What does this teach us? That if there is an action that we ourselves have not done, but we approve of it, then what does that mean? It is as though we ourselves have done it. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. And we will say, taste the punishment of the burning fire. Al-Hariq is from the root letters, حَرَقَاف. حَرْق is to burn. What does حَرْق mean? To burn. And hariq gives the meaning of muhriq, that which burns, that which burns. And hariq also gives the meaning of mahruq, that which is burnt, meaning the punishment of being burnt. So first of all, the punishment that burns, and secondly, the punishment of being burnt. وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُ عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. Why will this be said to them? Why? Out of reproach. Because one is that a person is being punished, and the other is that he is being scolded. That augments the punishment. So when نَقُولُ ذُوقُ عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, we will say, taste the punishment of the fire. So what does this ayah show to us? That there are some people who have a habit of making fun of the ayat of Allah, of the commands of Allah, of the words of Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some people who do that. What should we do? What should our reaction be? What does Allah say over here? What's the response that Allah gives to them? Directly to them? Nothing. So such people, they need to be ignored. The maximum you can do is remind them that whatever you are saying is being recorded. Because if you try talking to them and if you try explaining to them, what are they going to do? They're going to say one more thing that is incorrect. One more thing that is inappropriate. Because someone who is not shy of Allah, someone who does not respect Allah, you think they're going to respect you? No. So these people, don't even bother talking to them. The maximum you should do is just remind them that everything that they're saying is being recorded. And we can apply this to other situations as well. That if a person is saying something that is inappropriate, that is wrong, for instance, they're using foul language against you, they're backbiting, or they're saying something that is completely incorrect, they're making fun of another person, what should you do? What should you do? The best way of stopping them is by reminding them that everything you're doing is being recorded. The angels are writing. The angels have written. What are you doing? Be careful. So سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That is for what your hands have put forth. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And because Allah is not ever unjust to His servants. ذَلِكَ. What does ذَلِكَ refer to? This punishment. عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. This punishment, meaning it will also be said to them at the same time, when they will be told ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, that taste the punishment of the burning fire, it will also be said that this punishment that you're suffering is why? بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Because of what your hands sent ahead. Now why are hands mentioned? Because most of the actions are done by hands. So مَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ refers to the actions that you committed. In other words, you're suffering from this. Why? Because you yourself prepared this. You prepared this for yourself. You're suffering from this because you prepared this for yourself. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ. And Allah is never unjust to His servants. لَيْسَ. At all. He's not at all. بِظَلَّامٍ. The word ظَلَّام is from the root letters ظَلَّام مِيم, from the word ظُلْم. And what does ظُلْم mean? Injustice. Now one is ظَالِم. Who is ظَالِم? One who is unjust. Then there is ظَلُوم. ظَلُوم is one who is very unjust. And ظَلَّام is one who is extremely unjust. One who is extremely unjust. So over here, لَيْسَ بِظَلَّام. Allah is not at all extremely unjust. What does it mean by this? Does it mean that He is unjust a little bit? Is this what this means? No. You see, the words on the structure of فَعَال, like ظَلَّام, غَفَّار, قَهَّار, خَلَّاق, what are these? They give the meaning of tawwab. Okay, they give the meaning of mubalagha. And remember mubalagha? It shows the excess of either the quantity or the quality. It shows excessiveness of the quantity of the action or the quality. And over here, it doesn't give the meaning of excessiveness in committing zulm, but excessiveness in not committing zulm, in staying away from zulm. Okay? One is to exceed in doing zulm, and the other is to do your maximum, to do your best to stay away from zulm. Because remember, there are two extremes, to overdo or to underdo. To overdo or to underdo. So over here, ظَلَّام, it doesn't mean one who does a lot of zulm, but one who does not even do a little bit of zulm. One who does not do even a little bit of zulm. So وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah is not at all unjust to His servants. Why? Because He has said, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. O my servants, I have made zulm haram upon myself. So Allah does not do injustice to His servants at all. Over here, why is this being mentioned? That if these people are punished, and if they are told, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, this is not injustice. This is what? This is a punishment that they deserve for the actions that they themselves have committed.